Today on Real Radio.
Because if angels can appear from heaven to proclaim and announce that this day, born in the city of David, is Christ the Lord, then listen, following the long tradition of brothers and sisters who have come before us, and ultimately in obedience to God's announcement that it's Christmas, then we need to proclaim it, church. We need to announce it. And we need not tiptoe around and be shy about it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a series of presentations in light of this year's Christmas celebration. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called When God Came Down.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or is as follows." The Bible is a chronological record of the birth of Jesus Christ, the coming of Christ, the incarnation of Christ, the very birthing, living, suffering, dying, and resurrection of Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus came at Christmas that we might experience the fullness of God in our lives. In part one, we looked at these three things before we dive into today's message. Regarding Christmas, church, we looked at these three things. Number one, that we did not follow as believers, and we do not follow as believers, some story that's been made up. In fact, number one, we looked at this, that it was according to God's plan. The Bible speaks in perfect detail God's plan regarding the Christmas story. It's obvious, it's historical, it's prophetic as well, that it's according to God's plan. The Bible speaks over and over again of God's great, great plan. Number two, His timing was perfect. We looked at that in detail, that Jesus Christ came to the earth at just the right time. God's timing's perfect. And then thirdly, last week we looked at the fact that it was a divine purpose, that God had a divine purpose in Christ coming. Very, very powerful. So church, let's dive in now to part two of our study together. It's this: when God came down, we're going to look more of the benefits starting now. When God came down, number one, He brought us the gift of life. And I want to share this with you right now, the gift of life. Mark it. It's very important. Everybody wants to talk about life. Everybody, listen, in our culture, in the world, people want to pursue the fountain of youth. People want to look younger. People want to act younger. What are we hearing today? That is it like 30 is the new 50? Have you heard that kind of terminology? Because of vitamins and because of exercise and because of Botox and because of everything else, people look younger these days. And so now the whole push is to push off or shove off the onset of age. And this is a mythological thing as well. If we could just find the fountain of youth. Everybody wants to talk about life. Listen, everybody, like Ronald Reagan, by the way, I'm pretty close to the exact quote. Ronald Reagan said, regarding the extermination of life, he said, "It's interesting that those who are for abortion are only those who've had the chance to be born." You see, once you're in the game, then you get to play the game and have the rules of the game. Life is something that by nature we love. Well, look, whatever your opinion is, I choose to go with the biblical opinion of God. And God says, for example, that euthanasia is wrong. That the killing of somebody who's elderly because they're taking up space is wrong. By the way, I believe also that it's equal, just to get you going this morning, to stir it up, I believe that it's wrong to withhold quality medical treatment from the elderly, like there's some sort of second-class American. I think they've paid their way. They've earned their keep. And just because someone's elderly, the Bible makes it very, very clear that when someone's older, we're to honor them more and more. Not say, well, you know what, you don't contribute, so we're putting you in a lower bracket of health care or whatever it might be, or status. Or people will mock an elderly person. That's wrong. I think that's wrong. God says that abortion is wrong. Why? It's not because God cannot be politically correct. He refuses to be politically correct. He's always theologically correct. And good theology always promotes life. God is for life. You may not be for life, but God's for life. And He loves your life. And He wants you to love life. He wants you to, look, the Bible says that God wants you to live a long, healthy, and fruitful life. Don't you? In fact, even if you were to lie to me this morning and say, no, I don't care to, you're a liar. And I'll tell you why. God put eternity in your heart, the Bible says. You want to live. God has given us life. And the Bible teaches us something very clearly. We read it a moment ago in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. When that angel made that announcement, he says, for this day born to you in the city of David is a Savior. And look at the next word, who is Christ, next word, Lord, Savior, Christ, Lord. Every one of those things promote and deal with life. A Savior is necessary so that your life may continue. The Christ is the Redeemer, and the Lord, He's the one whom we yield our life to. Why? Because, my friends, God is all about life. Jesus Christ brought us the gift of life this way. Number one, Jesus Christ is the author of life. Jesus, don't think for a moment that when Jesus came at Christmas in Bethlehem, that that was the beginning of Jesus. No, that was the beginning of Jesus Christ in human skin. The Bible says He has always been. And in John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, all things were made through Him, Jesus Christ, and without Him, nothing was made or created that was created. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The word light right here, where He is the life, and that very life of Christ, He imparts, listen, to mankind, which is the light of men. The word light, you might know this word. It's in Greek, it's phos, where we get the root word, for example, if something is phosphorus or a luminescence. The Bible says that Jesus is the source of that. That word in the Greek means to make shine or to manifest or to beam, to be radiant. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas, is the one who illuminates the life of mankind. Every human being, by the way, the word is all-encompassing. It doesn't mean that just Christians have the light or just the Jews have the light. No, the Bible here means that Jesus Christ gives light to every human being that has come into the world. And we're not talking about flashlights, and we're not talking about flood lamps. We're talking about an internal light, an illumination. And I want you to be thinking this morning, because, my friend, listen, you know down deep inside, if you just pause for a moment and think, that down deep inside, you know that verse is true to your heart. Because inside you have thoughts that are illuminated thoughts. When I say illuminated, I mean this. You have thoughts that are deep. You're not an animal. You are not an evolutionary byproduct. You have meaningful thoughts. You have creative thoughts. You have thoughts that are emotional thoughts. You have spiritual thoughts. As the Bible says, you were created in the image of God. It's amazing to realize in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, in whom, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and He is the image of the invisible God. That's an awesome word. It means that Jesus Christ is the physical representation of the Spirit God, the firstborn over all creation. That is, He is preeminent one. He's the governor over creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven. What does that mean? That means, according to the Bible, Jesus Christ created angelic hosts, beings. That's awesome to realize. Things that are on the earth and things visible and invisible. Jesus invented things visible and invisible. Colossians chapter 1, verses 14 and 16 says, He's the author of life. Jesus Christ is. Now, tonight you're going to see that great nativity story in our Sunday night service. And I love it. I've watched it all the way through, and I got to tell you, it really gripped me. And for this reason alone, you should come see it. It gripped me that they did such a good job in obeying the scripture and presenting to you the fact that God was being birthed into this world in human skin, that it will grab your heart. And let me tell you, the more we meditate on the Christmas message, the smaller our problems become. The smaller the things of this world that distract from us become. You guys, we got problems. We all have problems. You've got pressures. We all have pressures. But let me tell you something. In fact, I heard this week on the news that even though the market momentarily has been recovering, you know, it's up about over 10,000 now, and people have made some money on their stocks again, and a little bit of this and a little bit of that, Americans are not spending like they used to. Now, that doesn't make the retail industry very happy, but you know what's going on? They're saying that this is the first time that they have seen in nearly 50 years where Americans are spending more wisely and they're saving more now than we have per household in 50 years. That's a good thing. Now, listen, the credit card people, they don't want you to hear that. They don't want you to do that. But what's going on? They made the announcement that Christmas is becoming very simple this year. That it's all about family. It's all about not how much the table costs, they said, but who's sitting around the table. I like the way they put that. Simple. And when you think about the reality that Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the author of life, when we strip away all of the Madison Avenue hype and we look at the little baby in the manger, you know, right behind me is that little manger scene. Have you seen it? If you haven't seen it, go see it after service. There's a little, I don't know, some little plastic doll out there, but it's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He definitely looks like he doesn't look Jewish to me, but by faith, you have to look at that baby. And that's a heavily bearded Joseph out there too, I might add. He's the simplicity that God would come into the world. The very one who, listen, gave life, took the same life that you and I go through and have right now, and he came into the world that he might associate with us and relate to us. Secondly, Jesus Christ is the author of life again. He's the author of life a second time. The Bible says in John 3:1 that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, that is teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs or the miracles that you do unless God is with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, church, hang on to your shorts, because John 3:3 is the key to you living forever. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus said, unless one is born a second time. Born from above, the Greek word means born again in English. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water. Listen, raise your hand if you can hear me. You have all been born of water. Born of water means we've come in from our mommy into this world. You got to be born once before you can be born twice. Jesus says, so I say unto you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Capital S, that is the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You know how we raised our flesh a moment ago? We lifted our flesh high into the air. That's our bodies, our hands. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel at this when I say to you, you must be born again, for the wind blows wherever it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. See, you can see the effect of the wind, right? Isn't it supposed to get real windy here soon? Big storm coming. I pray to God Almighty. We need a storm. We need rain. And they're saying there's going to be strong winds. Well, how are we going to know that there's going to be winds coming? There's only one way to know, and you can feel it on your skin, or you can certainly watch the trees move. And Jesus says the Spirit of God's like that. You can't see it happen, but you can see the effects of it. And Jesus went on to say, but I tell you, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And when Nicodemus heard that, he answered Jesus and he said, how can these things be? My friend, listen, at Christmas time, I'm inviting you to no longer think on the earthly or carnal plane. When you think about Christmas, when you think about everything that speaks about Christmas, by the way, what do you think? Listen, what do you think Satan and those who are on his side don't want anything to do with Christmas? They want to hide Christmas. They want to put it away. They want to make it illegal. Because, my friends, you know what? Scrape away the surface and go down deeper. It's a spiritual issue down inside. It's all about you coming to know Christ and God personally. And Jesus said to the priest of Israel, you need to be born again. If you and I were to look at the requirements that Nicodemus had to fulfill as a man of God to be a priest, you and I would run away in shame. These guys out-tithed us, they out-gave us, they out-served us, they out-worshipped us, they went to temple more than we go to church in a year. They did everything better than us. Listen, what about today? Do you know anybody who's very religious? It's a danger. I'm not knocking being very religious as long as your religion is put in its proper place. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then your religion is fantastic. But if you have a relationship with religion, then you're in trouble. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, Pastor Jack, clearly no one's told you how good of a person I am. That doesn't count. You've got to be born again. And then thirdly, Jesus Christ is the author of eternal life. He's the author of eternity. In John chapter 10, verse 28, I love this verse. I use it a lot because I love it. John 10, 28 says, Jesus is speaking, he says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's written to the believer. Oh my goodness, I love that. Number one, I give them eternal life. Pastor, how much do I have to pay to have eternal life? You can't buy it. I have billions of dollars. It doesn't make it through the exchange. You can go to the bank and try to exchange that. It doesn't work. That currency doesn't work in God's world. Jesus says, listen, the word in the Greek is a gift bestowed freely. The word implies that Jesus Christ would walk up to each and every one of us today and hand us. Now look, he offers it, eternal life. He holds it out. You got to take it. Have you ever been at a really nice event where they have I don't go to these events much, so I don't know what word to use, but you know, like the person that brings the hors d'oeuvres to you, who would that person be? A server or something? A waiter? A butler? I don't know. But you know, I have opened up. I mean, people must have thought I was important because I've been invited to all kinds of black tie events, but I'm only there to pray for the thing, you know. And then they go, okay, you can leave now. But I have a suit on, you know, and I'm looking kind of like I know what I'm doing. And the guys and the gals are walking around. They're all decked out. And they, would you like a hors d'oeuvre? And I don't know about you, but I never recognize what it is on the plates. And aren't you scared when you see that stuff? It's like, is this like, was this alive recently? Or is it sweet? Or is it fleshy? Is it fish? Or is it a candy? What is that thing? Well, all of this stuff that's going on, they come by and they offer it to you. It's a gift from the host. You have the opportunity to take it or not. And God's message is so clear that you would recognize the hors d'oeuvre of God, that Jesus Christ, it makes sense. He makes sense. You could look at him and say, he's shaped like me. He talks like me. He relates to my feelings. He knows what I'm going through. He knows my life. He knows what it's like to be a baby. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be cursed at and scorned. He knows what it's like to laugh. God came in human flesh. And Jesus says, I give them eternal life. You can't earn it. He comes by and he hands it, but you've got to take it. He won't grab you and throw you on the ground and open your mouth and pour the hors d'oeuvre down your throat. He won't do that to you. God is the perfect gentleman. He said, neither shall they perish. That is the words eternal. They will never perish. When they die, they will not go to hell. When they die, they will not go see death. Isn't that amazing? Think about that for a moment. When they die, they will not see death. Let me tell you something. When that moment happens, you know, right now you might be saying, I don't need God. I don't need forgiveness. I don't need Jesus. I don't need Christmas. A little ping thing. You feel it in your heart. And you start thinking, all of a sudden, God thoughts. You get real serious about yourself real fast. That's why it's hard for young people to convince young people that they need the Lord. They feel like jumping over mountains. But rejoice, right? Their day's coming. They won't feel like that much longer. But we need Christ. And Jesus says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. Look, if this creates a riot in here, so be it. I don't worry about losing my salvation because Jesus is able to keep me in his hands. No one, including me, can snatch me out of his hands. You know what? If I can hold a baby like this and that baby is so happy it just eats and coos and goo-goos and does all the stuff it does, you know what? Can't God do the same thing for us? Oh, yeah. I believe it. And I'm not going to walk around worrying about eternity because he's taking care of it for me. And so I get the high privilege of inviting people to know that same thing. Number two, jot it down, it's this. Point number two, when God came down, he extended to us the hand of mercy. The baby, Jesus, was all about mercy. What does mercy look like? Little baby Jesus. Mercy's got the five fingers on each hand and five toes on each foot. And mercy's got a nose and it's got a mouth. And that little baby of mercy grows up. Church, listen. I can't take time to develop this much, but keep this in mind. When you think of baby Jesus, we've all seen Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember the fantastic Spielberg representation of the Ark of the Covenant in the movie? He did a great job, Spielberg did. The Ark of the Covenant has a lid on top, and the lid has two angels bowed down, looking at what's called the mercy seat. You can take that lid off, and inside are the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod, and the manna. It's in the box. On top of the box is the lid where the two angels are bowed down. And that's where the blood of the sacrificial Passover lamb was put once a year. And the glory of God would appear above those angels in the tabernacle. Why do I bring that up? Because Jesus Christ, theologically, is our mercy seat. When you see that little baby lying in the manger on your Christmas card or out in the courtyard after service, remember this, he's the mercy seat. He's the glory. He's the manifestation. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the Christ. He's the forgiver. He's the eternal one. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the one that will never have a beginning and he'll never have an ending. He's the eternal God who inhabited heaven and came into this earth in human flesh and then went back after he had done the job for us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation taken from a number of scripture passages on the Christmas story. It's called When God Came Down. A mini-series we're presenting all this week in light of the Christmas celebration, also known as the Incarnation. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now this series, When God Came Down, is available for purchase on DVD from Real Radio. For a cost of $20 or more, we'll send you this four-part series on DVD. Just ask for it by name. When God Came Down by Jack Hibbs for a cost of $20 or more if you'd like to contribute to the outreach of Real Radio. Now, there's more than one way to get in touch. First, you can visit our website at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know where to point and click. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to purchase it the traditional way, you can send a check to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous tax-deductible contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you a Merry Christmas.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.